Hey, good evening, everyone.
Hey, good evening, Brother Ken.
Glad you could be with us tonight at Thomas Village Baptist Church on a Sunday evening, and just so glad you're with us. Welcome all those out in Facebook land and out there in the parking lot listening to 88.1. So let's all stand and sing number 400, Rise Up, O Men of God. Let's get us started off here.
I know I said we'd be in the book of Ephesians tonight, but instead we're going to be back in Galatians and finish our study up from Wednesday night. It'll give me a little more time to study on Ephesians. But so as you're turning to the book of Galatians chapter 5, it is good to see everybody tonight. So thankful you've made the effort to come out. And hadn't the day surely changed from when the lights went out this morning? And I told Amy, it was just dark enough outside that when the lights went out, it was black. It was just pitch black in here. But, I mean, you never know what's going to happen. It is good to be with you if you're listening over Facebook or our 88.3, I believe it is, 88.1. Also, it's good to have you, but also we want to remind you that nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus, and if you'll let him, he'll do even greater things than you can ever imagine. And we've also got in the new headphones. We have 7 or 8 pair, and if you have any difficulty hearing, this will help you a lot. It's and we'll make sure that you're able to hear. So I know 3 or 4 was using it this morning, and from what I could tell, it's made a difference. But as you're turning to the book of Galatians chapter 5, do we have any words of praise or testimony tonight before we go any further? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I was going to say, and all the chaperones made it home with it. Anyone else? Word of praise or testimony? Amen. Amen. For the presence of the Holy Spirit. If we don't have the Spirit, we are powerless. I mean, that's yes, Brother Otis?
Sister Ruth is driving home.
I know that feeling. Anyone else, word of praise or testimony? We are going to go through our prayer needs tonight. Helping Carly. Amen. Amen. Stomach migraines. She's the first one I've ever heard outside of my youngin having them. And first time I heard it, I was like, you trying to pull something over on me. But it can do it. And we just want to give praise to the Lord. We had one come this morning that had accepted the Lord Jesus Christ a few months back. And they want to follow through with believers' baptism. So we've got 2 candidates for baptism right now. So God is good and he's working. We do want to remember the lost, knowing that as we talked about this morning over in Philippians chapter 4, where it said that our graciousness should be made known, for the Lord is at hand, or his arrival is near. And we want to pray for them, backslidden, those that's drifted away from the Lord. You know, nobody ever got up, I believe, and said, I don't want to be as close to God today as I was yesterday. But you did, just happens. You drift away and you drift away. And then those that are marriages, the devil's fighting homes. And just be honest with you, he's fighting heterosexual man, woman, boy and girl building blocks of society. After our relationship with Christ, the home is the fundamental building block of a productive society. And it just seems like we're living in a state where they're doing all they can to recognize something else other than that as normal. We want to pray for those that are depressed, those that deal with chemical imbalances. Some is due with loss of loved ones or situations they faced. Then we want to pray for those that are involved over in the Ukraine war. I seen where one of an American was killed. He went over there and volunteered to fight in the Ukraine, and he passed away or was killed fighting for independence. We want to pray for the elections. If you don't know, it's election season. Just ride down what is it where you turn to go to Indian Path. What's that road? Wadlow Gap. You turn down Wadlow Gap onto John B. Dick, you'll see all kind of, everybody's running for something over there. VBS, June the 13th through the 15th. Continue to pray for recovery through Christ. Also, Brother Danny Roten, if you've not received your prayer bracelet, I love the verse, Luke 1:37. It's the angel was speaking to the Lord and said that you are highly favored. You are a favored. And it's good to know that all of us who are in Christ Jesus are. We want to continue to pray for Sister Teresa Cobb, Imogen Smart, Herschel Johnson, Joe Alacoa, Bo Taylor, John Austin, Jared Collins, as he's going through the police school. Linda Frazier, Margaret Lester, Michelle Bristow, Tony Barnes, Chuck and Jean Dennison, Jean Fanning, Wayne and Larry Bledsoe, Sister Melanie Lester and family, Kathy Kynes, Sister Mosella, Ruth Roden, and daughter Adria Osborne, Nick Roden, Ashlyn, a young girl with cancer, Anthony, who has cancer and also is in need of salvation, J.D. Nielsen, John Bryce, Jeanette Carter, Tommy Mullins, Wilma Daniels, Pam and Jasper Brown, Mary Jane Carter, Wilma Williams, Susan Lassiter, Michael Starnes, Karen McDavid, Charlie Taylor, the Stenicky family, the Scott family, Lisa Estep, Billy Carter, Aiden Jordan, Kathy Baldwin, Sherry Dean Cooper, Miranda Caldwell, Dr. Awan, Mickey Gillum, Rhonda Doran, Larry Tomlinson, Mike Brown, Gail Stidham, Denny Lemon, Cindy Osborne, Bodessa Lawson, Jerry Flannery, and Geneva, Paul Davis, Daryl Green, Deborah Taylor, Candy Worth, Leslie and Daryl, Kim and Dale Owens, Jimmy Taylor, Hazel Dingish, Shalina Harris, Brittany Grindstaff, Daryl Hurd, Junior Wade, Roger and Virginia Eden, Teresa Holden, Maggie Statzer, Betty McCorkle, Heather Markham, Kevin Tigner, Buddy McNutt, Steve Smith, Jason Knight, Pam Savarsky, Sister Jessie Bull, Margaret Williams, CC Family, Debbie Starnes, Terry Biller, Brandon Johnson, Randy Meeks, Chuck Kearney, Penny Horton, Kathy Smith, Charlotte Bishop, Charlene Lofton, C. Edmonds, Shannon Haynes, Laura Evans and family, the Jones family, the Robbins family, Rhea and Ruth Osborne, Justin Bowen, Paul and Thomas Stoyer, Carol Carter, Ezekiel and Robbie and Daniel Jordan, Eddie and Chris Barnett, Ethan Bowen, Daisy Richards, Dakota McQueen, Chris and Jennifer Strange, Judy Lubb, Tyler and Donna Hass, David and Felicia Cantrell, Lance and Sabrina Stollard, Mr. Pippin, Haley Webb, Carol Dishner, Darlene Porter, Rhonda Bryant, Jalen and Scott Bledsoe, John and Carmine Shoup, Chelsea LeBlanc, Wilma Jean Tomlinson, Brenda Stevens, Steve Neff, Cancer, Linda Jackson, Helen Bowen, Liza Fletcher, Hoyt and Phyllis Bledsoe, Lottie Johnson, Cecilia and Frank Pennington Sr., Randall and Edie Gunner, Mary Snodgrass, Nicholas Patrick, David Starnes, Scott Wooliver, James Connor, Evan Bach. We're still praying for Carly and Kennedy with a good report from Brother Keith. And then Stuart Owens and Buddy Hill. Any other that we can add or take off our prayer list today? Okay. All right, the altar is open, but let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in the precious and beautiful name of Jesus, Lord, a name that's matchless beyond compare. Heavenly Father, Lord, we don't even understand how holy and righteous the name of Jesus is. But God, I'm so thankful that you are available through the sacrifice and resurrection of the true and living God. And Lord, I praise you that you've brought us back here tonight. I thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, for the rain. I'm thankful for the sunshine. I'm thankful, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you're in control. And Lord, as we come to you tonight, God, we know that there are many that are dealing with physical needs. Lord, whether it be COVID, cancer, whether it be issues of life, Lord, it could be family problems. It could be other type relationship problems, God. But Lord, you're still able. There is nothing too big, nothing too great that, Lord, you will not be able to have victory over. And I do pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you teach us how to live in victory and how to live the abundant life. Lord, recognizing, God, that we have a joy, not a happiness, not a happenstance, but we have a joy because of who Christ is and who we are in him. Lord, I pray tonight that you be with other churches and other places that are worshiping you tonight. I pray that you pour your spirit freely out upon them and ask you to do the same here. And God, we give you all the praise, honor, and glory, and it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, we do have council meeting tonight, and like I said, if you would turn to Galatians chapter 5, Ben was meaning to go into Ephesians, and we are. I just didn't get as far along in my study this afternoon as I wanted to, and so if you remember, on Wednesday night, we began a study out of here in the book of Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16, all the way through to verse 26, where we discuss, and initially the precept that we'll be focusing on are the fruits of the Spirit. And Brother Otis a few weeks ago talked about our spiritual garden, and as I was studying this and thinking about how, you know, many times in Scripture, the individual, especially in the New Testament, is presented as a plant or as some type of fruit-bearing tree. And every life produces some sort of fruit. The Bible tells us that we're not to be judgmental. We're not to condemn anyone because we don't know what's in the heart of that individual. But he does say in Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 35, he says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, as you're turning to Galatians chapter 5, or make the tree bad as its fruit's bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood vipers, how can you speak good things when you are evil? For the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. A man produces good things from his storeroom of good, and an evil man produces evil things from his storeroom of evil. And so the fact is that each and every human being has some kind of product of their life. We produce something, and either it's going to be of the flesh, of the fallen nature, of the human realm, or it's going to be of the Spirit. So let's begin here in chapter 5, beginning in verse 16, and we'll read through verse 26. I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. I am warning you about these things, as I warned you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And may God add the blessing to the reading of His Scripture. So the whole premise here, and it's kindly as we studied last week in the Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, where it says that my God, but God shall supply the peace which passes all understanding and shall stand guard over your hearts and over your minds. As we consider that and we have studied this, we recognize that following the person of the Holy Spirit and surrendering to the flesh is partly how we walk in the will of God, because we know that our heart and our mind at times work against us. Jeremiah says that the heart is wicked and our human intellect is basically, what does it say here? It says that the things of God and the things of the Spirit oppose each other. They are diametrically opposite. So within us, we have, as we've been born in the Spirit, we have the natural man and we have the spiritual man. And there is that civil war, that internal battle, that wages. What are we going to feed more today? Are we going to feed the natural man? Are we going to feed the spiritual man? Are we going to follow after our own wants and desires and intellect? Or are we going to follow after the truth of God and the Holy Spirit? We see that fight. And as we move on in our study, we see again in the parable of the sower, Matthew chapter 13. Remember, there were four soils. Only one took root and produced fruit, remember? And then also in the parable of the true vine, He is the vine, we are the branches. But what are the branches supposed to do? Bear fruit. And then again in Matthew chapter 7, verses 16 and 18, it says, you will recognize them by their fruits. And that's the same way we do with trees, right? I mean, if you pick an apple off of it, what are you going to call it? If you pick a pecan up from underneath it, what you going to call it? And don't say pecan. Don't say pecan. It's a pecan tree. But we see and we name them rose bushes and all that because of the fruit. And Jesus said that they'll know you, that they'll know you're my children by the fruit you bear. Specifically, He said to His apostles, they'll know you by the way you love one another. And so as we consider our garden, and we all have a garden, remember, what we produce in our life on a daily basis. Notice it says again that there is the direct contrast between the flesh and the spirit. And that they're opposing. But as we begin to keep inventory, we can look at verses 19 through verse 21 there, and we see the idea of the works or the products of the natural man. And remember, it said in the King James, it had 16 or 17 laid out. But the first one, and notice what it says, well, the works of the flesh are obvious. I mean, they pretty much speak for themselves. But the first one we talked about was sexual immorality, specifically adultery, sexual unfaithfulness outside of the bounds of marriage. And like we said, it's one of God's top tens. We find it, thou shalt not commit adultery, all the way back over in the book of Exodus. But then He also mentions moral impurity. And this is the Greek term comes from the word porneia, where we get the term pornography from, and it deals with any type of sexual immorality outside of marriage. The Bible says that the marriage bed is undefiled. It is special and praise God for it. But the Bible teaches us that anything outside the bounds of marriage sexually is abnormal, because God created to be normal inside of the bounds of marriage. Then there's promiscuity, and this is basically a moral impurity, polluted unrighteousness, walking outside of God's will, living outside of what God's will and intends for us. Then there is sensuality. The King James says lasciviousness. I'd rather say some names than that one. Lasciviousness, which basically it defined, it is shameful indecency. And here's the sad thing is that there is nothing anymore in America to be ashamed of except being a Christian. I mean, that's about the way it's got, right? I mean, and yes, at times it would be done in the dark, or you would meet at the back road and all this. Now it's on Main Street, and some of the most perverted, depraved type stuff is celebrated and has its own day and it has its own parades, except for when you say, I'm a child of God, or I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we're archaic and we're holding back society from going on ahead. Then there is also idolatry. And this is the worship of idols, but it can be either physical or mental idols. You know, and many of us, as we study Lucifer and we look at him, we recognize what was his sin. He thought he should be God. He thought he should be number one and that the world revolves around him. And we're in that in our society. I've talked about it and you've heard it, but probably the most common picture being taken today is a selfie. And the idea of I should have what I want. I should have what I need. Everything revolves around me. Believe what you want to, but just don't mess with me. I mean, the whole idea of lifting ourselves up as number one. I was blessed to read the Humanist Manifesto 2 this week, and it's just eye-opening. And this thing was written 50, 60 years ago, but you see the mentality at work in our society now. It moves on down to after adultery, we get to the word sorceries, which in some translations it says witchcraft. And when you look up the word in the Greek, the word is pharmakia, where we get the term pharma, which is big drugs and all that. And if you remember, the definition here of sorcery or witchcraft is the use of or administering of medicines, drugs, spells, etc., etc. How does this tie into religion? Because when you see it in the oracles and you see it in the witch doctors, they would take something from nature and mix a concoction, and they would, I'll never forget on Young Guns too, they went into the spirit world, you know. But we're living in a time today to where, as we've put it, there's peace in a bottle, there's hair grow in a bottle, there's whatever you need, there's some kind of drug for it. I mean, it can do it. And Revelations, another time where this identical word is used, is in Revelations chapter 9, verse 21, and they would not repent of their murders, their sorceries, or their sexual immorality, or it could say their murders, their pharma, and their sexual immorality. Then we move on from that and we see that the, remember, this is what's growing in the garden of someone that does not know Jesus Christ, or either someone that has fallen away from Christ and are living for themselves. The next one is hatred. This is a hostility that lingers. And I tell you, the Bible says if we hate someone, then we've committed murder already. We might as well have murdered them. And I tell you what, we're living in a time where people are pushing the limits, pushing the beliefs to extreme. And if you disagree with them, then they're hostile against you. And sometimes it's hard not to hold hostility against someone else. But that's why these are natural. It takes the Spirit of God, or the supernatural Spirit of God, to produce the fruits of the Spirit. The next thing, and just going briefly over these, is strife. That means to sow discord or contention. Just watch the news and you'll see strife and What y'all think about the new misinformation director and all that? I tell you what, it's getting sad, ain't it? It's getting sad. But the idea of sowing dissension and contention and fighting, and then there's jealousies, emulations, the King James says. These are long-held desires to have what somebody else has. Maybe it would be their honor. Maybe it would be their possessions. It could be their position. But it's just that hunger to have what someone else has. Then it talks about outbursts of anger. This means to be quickly tempered and allowing the emotions to rule you instead of reacting in emotions instead of responding in wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Then there is selfish ambitions. This means to the point that you divide for self-promotions. Get all you can all you get, and don't worry about anybody else. You know, kind of, I don't care who I have to step on to get to the top of the ladder. Then there's dissensions. This is the rebellions, divisions, splitting off. And as we think about, and I mentioned this the other night when we think about Barabbas, he was guilty of dissension or seditions as he was leading a split off of the Jewish people to rebel against the Roman Empire. And then there are factions. This is a rejection of fundamental beliefs and teachings of God so that you can be in control. You know, we talked about like Jim Jones. Jim Jones didn't start out teaching heresy, but he gradually moved off, and he moved away from the truth of Scripture into this utopian-type thing. And at the end, there was nothing godly about it. I mean, if you've watched anything there. Then there is envy, and envy goes a little bit further than jealousy. Jealousy is wanting to have what somebody else has. Envy is wanting to have what somebody else has so much that you are mad at the person who has it. Not only do I want what they have, but they don't deserve to have that. And so it adds that idea of not just wanting, but being angry or resentful for another for having it. And then there's murder, the senseless taking of life, as we see in the Ten Commandments, drunkenness, as we study, and this is not just alcohol, but drugs to satisfy physical desire or to escape. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 says, "Be ye not drunk with wine, wherein is excess." And you see the idea there being that do not let the substance be in control of you. And then there's carousing. This is basically an uncontrolled lifestyle that is being lived for self. If it feels good, do it. Just all that goes along with it, eat, drink, and be merry type lifestyle. And so now let's look at any questions on those. Any questions on the product of the natural man's garden, the produce of the natural man's garden. Now, again, there were 16 or 17 there, whereas as we begin to look at verses 22 and following at the fruits of the Spirit, is cut in half and almost 8 or 9. So any thoughts before we move on into verse 21 or 22? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. And you know, we should try to live by the Ten Commandments. I mean, those are just good precepts, but guess what? We're not going to be able to fulfill them all, but still it is, and that's why Jesus died. Where we fall short, he made up the difference. But we're still to seek to honor God in the way we live. The first one is love. And the Greek word there is agape. And you know, that is the heavenly type love, the love that comes down from the throne of our Creator. And remember, agape type love is a love that's willing to suffer difficulty so that the ones they love can suffer success or be benefited. Jesus Christ was willing to take our pain, to take our judgment, to take our cross, so that we might have His blessing and His relationship with our Creator. To Him, He that knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. And that ties into like we were this morning. The Bible says that we're to esteem others better or more important than ourselves. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. The Bible teaches us that did He come to as a king? No, He came as a blue-collar type worker. He came and He was, the whole thing about Jesus' life was Him being put into a difficult position so that we might be benefited. Any thoughts on that? Romans 5:8. But God proves His love for us while we were yet sinning. Christ died for us. Christ was willing to be oppressed so that you and I could be eternally blessed. The next one is joy. And remember, we talked about how that joy is the inward excitement and expectation based on Christ, His power, His promises, and His soon return. And so that is the inner gladness. It's different from what happens to us. It's not about being happy, because happenings can make me happy or happenings can make me sad. But inside of me, I have an expectation and I have an excitement that I have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I've been made new by the power of the Holy Spirit. He went to build me a house in His community so that I can be with Him for an eternity. He pronounced me to be justified, even though I am a sinner. The judge declares me as being righteous, and there is so much more that cannot be affected by what's happening around me. All those things and so much more can never be taken away from me. You might take my home, you might take my clothes, you may end up like Job. But as Job said, I know my Redeemer lives, and I have that joy inside of me. And we should rejoice. Remember, joy is the inward excitement and expectation found in Jesus alone. Rejoicing is the public declaration of my inward excitement and expectation in Christ Jesus. The next thing, isn't it funny? The next thing is something we've studied on. The next fruit in the spiritual man's garden is what we've been studying on, and that is peace. Peace. You remember in the Old Testament, it's shalom, used 318 times, meaning to be complete, to have harmony and a state of well-being. And then there's peace in the New Testament, irene, which is used 111 times for a total of 429 times in the King James that the word peace is used. But it means to be tranquil. And biblical peace is to be completely sound with our Creator and those around us. A state in which basic welfare is in harmony with God as well as with others, providing a freedom from worry with an overall tranquility. I mean, what we're going to see in the writings of Paul, specifically his prison writings, when we read in the greetings, the book of Philippians, the book of Ephesians, the book of Colossians, and the book of Philemon, in the first three sentences, he's going to say, grace and peace be upon you in the name of our Lord Jesus. And all four of those. And he wants this shalom. He wants this arena, this tranquility to be in the life of all believers. The next fruit in our garden is patience. This means bearing and enduring difficulty for a long season. Remember this morning, we talked about how in Philippians chapter 4, there in verse 1, Paul calls us to stand firm or to stand fixed as a soldier would when the shells. And we talked about Stonewall Jackson and how he got his name, and how that that's our calling for us to endure, to stand. When there's nothing else, everything else around us is going, we're to stand and endure. Isaiah 48, verse 9, as we consider patience. I will delay my anger for the honor of my name, and I will restrain myself for your benefit and for my praise. so that you will not be destroyed. We see that God has been long-suffering or patient with the children of Israel in the Old Testament, just as He has been with me, and I'm certain that He has been long-suffering with you as well. The next one is kindness. And it means being considerate, gracious, not hard or bitter. And I've told y'all about this, but you know, are we known for being kind? I'll never forget, we went to eat at the Oak Plaza one day, a home in Georgia, and you know, Sundays between 12 and about 2 get hit hard in restaurants. And me and Amy cleaned up our table because they were busy, and the waitress said, "I want to thank you for that. Usually some of the meaner ones are on Sunday afternoon." Now, isn't that, that's a bad testimony. We should be known not for our meanness, not for our negativity. There's enough negativity in this world. It's blaring in our ears anytime we sort of turn something on. We should be considerate. We should be gracious. We should be known in our community as this. Luke chapter 6, verses 35 through 36, "But love your enemies. Do what is good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Then your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High." Listen to that. If we are kind and loving, how will we be known? As children of the Most High. "For He is gracious to the ungrateful and the evil." Amen. "Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." The next one is we should not only be known for kindness, but we should be known for our goodness. That means of high quality, of high moral character, that when people see you coming, they're happy to see you coming. You entering into their life is a happening that is going to bless or benefit them. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9 says, "For the fruit of light results in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." And remember, the Bible says that the day that we were saved, just like He talks about back in verses 16 through about verse 18, He talks about the Holy Spirit. And on the day that we got saved, the day that Christ became our Savior, not only did He bring life inside of us, but the person of the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of God, lives within us. And He will produce, if we allow Him to, if we choose not to go by our emotions, not to go by our own intellect, but to go in the power of the Spirit based on the truth of the Word. And then there's three more. The faithfulness. Being loyal, being committed, having an allegiance. And you know, I mean, in today's society, it doesn't take much for people to call you faithful. Just do what you say you're going to do, show up where you say you're going to show up, and people will notice it, and they'll recognize it, and they'll be thankful for you being there. Then there's gentleness. We've talked about it this morning. Meekness, the idea of power under control. You know, you look at some of those big old draft horses like on the beer commercials and those things. Those things could trample their rider or their handler at any time. But what's happened? They allow for their strength to be controlled by another. And that's part of being meekness, allowing our strength to come from the Lord and allowing Him to lead us and guide us. And then the last thing is self-control. And I think we are living in a society that is losing self-control and almost in certain areas are becoming animalistic in certain type things. But I told you, I've been talking to you about my diabetes. I believe that it is another place where I have to submit to the Spirit for it to be in control and to have authority. Because I tell you what, I was raised, you ate potatoes and a piece of bread at every meal. And you had to have meat. You may not have had vegetables, but you had a meat. But now it's just a chain. God is saying, "Nope, I'm gonna bring you under my authority and under my control." But so let me ask you. Let's go through those real quick again. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desire. Meaning, we know we face the passions and the wants of our flesh every day. But we seek not to live to that. We seek to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why we say, I'm crucified. What is it? Galatians 2:22, I think it is. For I'm crucified. What is it? 2:20. Galatians 2:20 says, therefore I am crucified with Christ, but never yet I live. But the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we let Jesus live to us. Remember, that was the swap. When we got saved, basically what happened was a transaction. Jesus died on the cross. He took our penalty, and he was willing to give us his relationship with the Creator if we give him our life of sin, death, and shame. And what happened when he died on the cross? He took my life of sin and death into the grave. And when he arose up on the third day, he left my sin and death in there. He suffered. It's behind him. But he has passed on to me his life. And so now I allow him, because it's his life that's going to get me into heaven. It's his blood that's going to keep me there. And so I am to live my life for him in the power of the Holy Spirit. So, what's growing in your garden? Do you see more of the fleshly type fruit? We all got some fleshly fruit in there, even though we may not want to admit it publicly. We all producing some fleshly fruit. But, hey, we also produce fruits of the Spirit. And the goal is to produce more fruit of the Spirit tomorrow than I did today for the glory of his name. All right, any thoughts, any questions on tonight's lesson? Don't forget, we are going to have our council meeting. It's good to see all of you. I'm going to ask if Brother Ken would come and close us out in a word of prayer.
Let us pray. Father God, as we just humbly bow, again, thank you for another day that you've allowed us to have. And thank you for being in the service today and tonight. Thank you for loving us and being with us and guiding us and all things that you do. Be with all those who are sick and infirm that could not be here tonight, all those who are suffering. Be with the leaders of our country, the leaders of all the other nations as they deal with the strife of this world, and just put your hand of mercy upon them. Just lead, guide, and direct us in everything we do, and we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.